Flying Red Horse, the sign that identifies the mobile gas and mobile oil dealers who bring you Hollywood Preview with Knox Manning and tonight's star, Patrick McGeehan. Before Knox Manning tells you about tonight's story, a reminder that the winners of the $2,000 story judging contest will be announced tonight. So be sure to listen at the end of the program. And now, ladies and gentlemen, your host, Knox Manning.
Thank you and good evening, everyone. A cordial welcome to Hollywood Preview. Again, we invite you to preview by radio a new story written for the screen. Tonight's story by Everett Tomlinson is a human, heartwarming story based on the life of Eugene Field, called The Years Are Many. And as our star, ladies and gentlemen, one of Hollywood's outstanding actors, Patrick McGeehan. Now the first act of the first presentation of The Years Are Many, starring Patrick McGeehan as Eugene Field, with Kathleen Fitz as his wife, Julia. He wrote these words.
With faith that all is for the best, let's bear what burdens are presented, that we shall say, let come what may, we die as we have lived, contented.
For Eugene Field, the contented life was made up of these things. His friends, his sense of humor, his children, his beloved wife, Julia. St. Joseph, Missouri, in the 70s. Along the board sidewalk of the main street, a young man with hat on the back of his head and necktie streaming away from his high collar, half runs, half walks through the late afternoon crowd.
Excuse me, please.
Well, really?
Excuse me?
Gene Field, what did you get back?
No time to talk now, Josh.
Gene, hey, wait a minute.
Excuse me, please.
Yes? Well, Mr. Field, I thought you were in Europe.
I was. Has your father left yet?
Well, I think he's just going out the side door.
Well, thanks. I'll try to catch him.
Oh, of all the cops.
Oh, I'm very sorry, sir. Mr. Comstock.
Field, I might have known.
Let me help you up, sir. I was hurrying to see you. I just got back from Europe.
And did you knock people down like that all the way?
Oh, no, sir. No, sir, I've talked to Julia.
So I assumed.
And I've got to talk to you, Mr. Comstock. We want to get married.
So you informed me 2 years ago. And what was my answer?
Well, you said we'd have to wait 4 years until Julia was 18.
Correct. And what else did I say?
You said I should be established in business.
Well?
Well, I've decided that the most important business I have to attend to is marrying Julie.
Indeed.
Yes, sir.
Young man, don't you realize Julie is still a girl?
Oh, she'll outgrow that, sir.
I'd be a fool to give my consent.
Well?
Are you implying that I am a fool?
Oh, no, no, sir.
Well, as a matter of fact, I am. I always have been, where Julia's concerned. Field, if you make that girl unhappy, I'll take it out of your hide.
Julie.
Yes, Gene?
He said yes, Julie.
Oh, Gene.
We'll be married next month.
And the honeymoon in St. Louis?
St. Louis! New York, Julie. Oh. Nothing but the biggest and the best for the wife of Eugene Field. That's the new elevated railroad. Just one of the sights in New York, Julie.
You mean it runs way up there above the street?
That's right.
It's fabulous, Gene. Unbelievably so.
You're beautiful, Mrs. Field. Unbelievably so. Waiter. Oh, waiter.
Oui, monsieur.
Pig's feet a la St. Joe for two, please.
Pig's feet a la St. Joe, monsieur?
That's what I said. Surely an establishment far famed as the Waldorf Astoria would wish to make two honeymooners from St. Joseph, Missouri feel at home.
Oh, gee.
Julia. tonight, we see Frou Frou, Julie.
Frou Frou?
Musical comedy at the Fifth Avenue Theater.
Oh, I didn't think there could be another theater in New York.
Well, I guess this is the last. You happy, Julie?
I'm with you, Gene.
Trip to Europe, a wedding, a honeymoon in New York. Undoubtedly a costly one.
And now I'm home, Mr. Gray.
Yes, and I presume broke again. You came to ask for another advance from your father's estate. Is that correct, Jean?
Well, I came primarily to see you, Mr. Gray, but I won't deny that some money would be welcome.
Eugene, I think it's about time you and I had a serious talk. The estate your father left in my trust is not endless, you know.
Well, Yes, I suppose you're right, sir.
You've got to think of a career, and I consider it my duty to force you to think of a career. Therefore...
Therefore, no money.
No money.
I deserve that, sir. You're absolutely right. And I'm resolved right now to launch on a career on the variety stage.
Now, see here, you're not going to talk about going on the stage again.
Oh, but I am.
Gene Field, you can't do this. You're a cheap entertainer. Think of the family name.
Oh, I have, sir. I wouldn't think of using my own name, of course.
Well, at least you show that much sense.
So I've decided to use your name. Melville L. Gray, banjo and specialty artist.
Gene Field, you wouldn't dare. You wouldn't have the audacity to...
Yes, sir.
Oh, this is another one of your preposterous jokes.
Needing money is no joke, I assure you.
Very well. Very well, you'll get your money again. But I tell you, this is the last time. Positively the last time.
Mr. Gray, you're one of the most understanding men I've ever known.
Oh.
Someday I'm going to name one of my children after you.
You get out of here. Now take this check and get out before I change my mind.
Thank you, Mr. Gray. Thank you again. Oh, and Julie would want me to thank you, too. By the way, I forgot to tell you.
Now what?
I'm editor of the St. Joseph Gazette.
You're what?
I've got a job as editor of the St. Joseph Gazette. I start tomorrow.
You mean to tell me all this time you've had a job, you deliberately... Gene Field, you're impossible.
Thanks for the check, Mr. Gazette.
Thanks, indeed. If it weren't your own money, it'd be robbery. I tell you, if that wife of yours survives even a year of married life with you, I'll be amazed.
Your first pay envelope.
Uh-huh. Open it up. Not even a dime out for a haircut.
But the envelope, it's made out to me.
Oh, that's just an error, I guess.
Thank you for a nice error, Gene. A valentine. A poem. Oh, Gene.
And all these months we've been married, you've thought of me as just a newspaper. You didn't know I was going to win fame and fortune as a poet, did you?
It's a beautiful poem, Gene.
Of course. It was written for a beautiful woman.
What in heaven's name makes you so quiet, Gene?
Working on a poem, of course. It's entitled, To the New Baby.
The New Baby. Our Baby. It's so wonderful. I'm almost frightened.
Wait a minute. Frightened? Never be frightened of the future, Julie. We'll make a wonderful family, three of us. Something else, Julie.
What?
While after the baby comes, I might make a trip down to St. Louis.
Oh.
I've heard tell that they need a good man on the paper down there, and they might even be interested in someone like me.
Oh, Gene.
Here you are, Gene.
Oh, thanks for the lift from the station. I can't wait to tell Julie the good news.
I don't blame you. Getting a good job in a big town like St. Louis. Yep. See you later.
Thanks. Give my regards to the family. Julie! Julie, I'm back! Julie,
Hello, Gene.
Well, Mr. Gray. Mr. Comstock.
Gene, this is Dr. Mason.
Doctor... Julie, what's happened to Julie?
Not Julie, Gene.
I'm sorry, Mr. Field. The disease struck suddenly. I did all that could be done for him.
The boy?
We tried to send for you in St. Louis. We couldn't find you.
Where's my wife? I want to see Julie.
Julie.
Jean. Oh, Julie.
Oh, Julie. My beloved.
We tried so hard to find you.
I shouldn't have gone. I shouldn't have left you.
Don't say that. Jean, oh, Jean. Now I know why I've been frightened. It was awful knowing I was powerless, knowing there was... Forgive me.
Cry, Julie. Why don't you cry?
Oh, Jean.
We were too happy, Julie. I've been a fool to think that happiness can be of our own making. I've been too much of a coward to accept reality.
Jean. What are you saying?
I don't know, Julie.
I don't think you do. Jean, I want to have another baby right away.
Another?
I'm not afraid of the future, Jean. Are you?
I'm not afraid of the future, Julie.
St. Louis Journal, Eugene Field, editorial writer.
The Kansas City Times, Eugene Field, managing editor, announces the birth of a daughter.
The Denver Tribune, Eugene Field, managing editor and columnist, celebrates the arrival of a son.
Eugene Field.
Oh, hello, Julie. What's the matter?
Eugene Field, I want an explanation of this.
I notice you call me Eugene. What have I done now?
We came out here to Manitou for a restful weekend, is that right?
That's right.
To get a few days vacation from the children.
And for the meeting of the Denver Press Club.
Then would you please explain this poster?
Or that? Well, that's self-explanatory, isn't it? Tonight, Monster Benefit Show, Manitou Hotel Main Dining Room. Come one, come all, admission 50 cents. Isn't that clear enough?
It's all too clear. Putting posters all over town announcing a show when you know very well there isn't any show is bad enough. But to suggest you might charge admission.
But how else can you raise money if you don't charge admission? That's for a worthy charity.
Yes, what charity?
Well, Mary needs new shoes, and, Mel could use some new toys.
Oh, Jean, you wouldn't have the nerve to do a thing like that. People might really come.
Of course.
But there isn't any show. They can't just sit there.
Julie, I'm surprised at you. They won't just sit there. If the people of Manitou will provide an audience, heaven will provide the entertainment.
Jean, please, I'm serious.
So am I. Oh, by the way, here's your free pass to the show. Oh. I'll probably be busy at the box office tonight, taking in all the money.
I can't believe it, Carrie. He's really done it.
Yes. Quite a turnout, too. Looks like the whole town's here.
What's he going to do, Carrie, taking money from those miners? They might not like it.
I know. Oh, hello, Evans.
Evening, Carrie. Hello, Mrs. Field.
Evans, is there... Well, have any entertainers?
No, Julia. No entertainers. There's nobody backstage at all.
I hope Gene hasn't carried this joke too far. That crowd's getting a little impatient.
Wait a minute, wait. There he is, getting up on the platform now. He's going to the piano.
Oh, no, he's not going to try to play himself.
But he is.
Julie, how was it?
Oh, Gene.
Oh, I couldn't have been that bad.
It was a miracle they liked you. Getting up there and entertaining for 2 hours all by yourself.
Was it really 2 hours?
It was. But that's not what I want to talk about. Gene, please listen to me because I mean it. I insist that you return every cent of that money.
After working that hard? Oh, really, Julie?
No, Gene, listen to me. I'm not laughing. I don't think this was a funny joke.
do really mean that, don't you?
I do.
Well, I guess you're right. Don't know exactly how I'll get in touch with all those people again. Excuse me. Oh, come in, Mrs. Orsatti.
Oh, Mr. Field. I can't... Mr. Field, that was the most wonderful thing anyone's ever done for me.
Oh, Mrs. Orsatti, my wife, Julie. Oh,
Mrs. Orsatti. Jean, what?
You see, Mrs. Orsatti's husband was killed in the mines the other day.
Oh.
She has several children. Yes. Of course, if you insist on sending the money...
No. No, Jean.
Fine. There's a little more than $200 in this envelope, Mrs. Orsatti. A gift from the people of Manitou.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I don't know how I'll ever...
Oh, the people of Manitou don't expect any thanks, Mrs. Orsatti. Now, you go run along to his kid, dear.
You have an angel for a husband, Mrs. Field.
An angel. Jean Field, you're a devil.
But... She needed the money, Julie.
And you let me think you were going to use the money for...
Well, all I said was that Mary needed shoes, and she does. I told you the money was for a worthy charity. You, didn't really doubt me, did you, Julie?
Of course I doubted you. You don't know how many times I've doubted you.
Really?
But I won't anymore. I can promise you that. I'll never waste another second of my time doubting you again.
Act one of tonight's Hollywood preview of Motion Picture of the Future. In just a moment, Act two. You know, it's a fact that the days are getting shorter. And so, too, is the time left to get your car in ship-shape condition for the bad weather months of driving ahead. After the beating it has taken during months of hot summer driving, it's certainly time now to winterproof your car, to give it the periodic check and servicing that every automobile manufacturer recommends. Stop in tomorrow and see your independent mobile gas dealer. You're sure of friendly service and that top-quality lubricant, New Mobil Oil. The finest Mobil Oil ever made at the sign of the Flying Red Horse. And now back to Knox Manning and our star Patrick McGeehan with Act Two of The Years Are Many, a story based on the life of Eugene Field.
The success of two recent volumes of poems has brought Eugene Field, his wife Julia, and their children, now four in number, to Chicago. Now it's a day in April 1888, and at the modest flat on Diversey Boulevard, supper is being made especially festive by a treat of gooseberry tart.
Oh, there's only one left.
I want it. I asked first, and I saw it first.
You didn't either.
No, sir, it's mine. You already had three.
Didn't either. I only had two and a little old smidgy.
Why, Junior Field, I saw
Wait a minute here. Mother, I was under the impression there were knives out in the kitchen.
Well, there were last time I looked.
Uh-huh. Then it seems to me this last tart could be cut in four pieces. That is, unless, you all want me to eat it.
Oh,
well, I thought so. Melville, suppose you go get the knife.
Yeah. And I get to cut it.
You don't either. I'm the oldest.
Wait a minute. Mel?
Huh?
Say, that's the beauty of a shiner. Come closer. Let me look.
Oh, it don't hurt.
Doesn't.
All right, doesn't.
Say, did you see this, Mother?
Yes, I saw it.
Don't tell me you got it in a fight, Mel.
No. Freddy just left his old rag dog on the stairs again. I only fell from the first landing.
Yes. And Freddy's always doing that, too, Father. I think you should speak to him.
Maybe I should. Remind me to speak to you, Freddy.
Uh-huh. And would you fix my soldier? He's busted.
He's broken, Freddy.
Uh-huh. And he's busted, too.
Hey, when are we going to get the knife and cut this tart? I'm awful hungry.
very nice, Mary. Bravo. Your music's coming along fine. Now, this is really the life, Mother. Concert after dinner.
Well, I have another new piece I can play, too.
Well, don't you think we'd better let Freddie play his piece for Daddy, dear?
Oh, Freddie got a piece, too?
Uh-huh.
He only plays with one finger.
Just the same, I think we should hear it.
Gosh, we've been hearing it all day.
Yes, but not at a concert like this. Come on, Freddie.
All right.
Oh, gee.
The little boy who can blow your horn, that sleeps in the meadow, the cows in the corn. Where is the boy that looks after the
Rowdy's all in bed, Julie?
At last.
Tired?
A little. You working?
Well, I've got pen and paper out. No idea yet. Slayson Thompson wants me to do a poem for the first issue of his new magazine, The America.
Oh, well, that's nice. I won't bother you then.
Oh, no. Wait, Julie. Don't go just yet.
What is it?
I just want to say that's a wonderful family of yours.
Ours, Gene.
Grave Alice, and Laughing Allegra, and Edith with the golden hair.
What's that?
Children's Hour, Longfellow.
Oh.
About his family, I guess. But it might be about ours.
How do you mean?
I was noticing tonight, Grave Freddy, Laughing Mel, and Penny with an appetite like a horse.
To say nothing of our 11-year-old grown-up Mary. Strange, isn't it, how they're each different, one from the other?
Like snowflakes. They all look the same until you get them under a microscope.
Jean.
Yeah?
I wonder what the other one would have been like.
I was wondering about that, too. He would have been 14 and 3 months now.
Almost a young man.
On the football team, probably.
Mm-hmm. Having his first sweetheart.
And different from all the rest.
Yes. Well, this isn't getting your work done.
I suppose not.
Now go, then. Please don't stay up too late. Good night, dear.
Night, Blue Eyes. Idea. Idea.
Gene, I wonder what the other one would have been like.
Toy soldiers busted, broken, busted too.
Poem.
Almost a young man, having his first sweetheart.
Freddy just left his old rag dog on the stairs again.
Little boy blue. Little boy blue. Little boy blue. Yes. Little boy blue. The little toy dog is covered with dust, but sturdy and staunch. He stands.
Oatmeal, hot oatmeal for everybody.
Hey, Penny, what'd you do with my skate key?
Well, if you take better care of it, you wouldn't be losing it all.
All right, quiet down and start your breakfast, children.
Go on, Freddy.
Well, well, all the happy faces.
Hi, good morning, dear. Papa.
Morning, Blue Eyes.
You'd better have a poem for us after working all night.
Oh, I have, Julie, I have.
Oh, have you, Daddy? Will you say it for us?
What, everybody? Daddy's got a poem.
Be quiet.
All right, all right. And, Julie, I want you especially to listen. I think you know what it means.
Well, does it have a name, Daddy?
Mm-hmm. I call it Little Boy Blue. And here it is. The little toy dog is covered with dust, but sturdy and staunch he stands. The little toy soldier is red with rust, and his musket molds in his hands. Time was when the little toy dog was new, and the soldier was passing fair. And that was the time when our little boy Blue kissed them and put them there. Now don't you go till I come, he said, and don't you make any noise. So, toddling off to his trundle bed, he dreamt of the pretty toys. And as he was dreaming, an angel song awakened our little boy Blue. Oh, the years are many, the years are long, but the little toy friends are true. Aye, faithful to little boy Blue they stand, each in the same old place, waiting the touch of a little hand, the smile of a little face. And they wonder, as waiting the long years through, in the dust of that little chair, what has become of our little boy Blue since he kissed them and put them there?
Gee.
Well, Julia, what do you think?
I love you, Jean Field.
Tonight's Hollywood preview of a motion picture of the future. Your host, Knox Manning, and star Patrick McGeehan return to our microphone in just a moment. Friends, thousands of motorists have told us that driving with flying horsepower is like flight on wheels. Well, it should be, for it's the result of the greatest gasoline development of the war, that super aviation fuel that helped pound our enemies into defeat. Now harnessed in those super gasolines, new mobile gas special and new mobile gas for your car. Don't miss it. Have your independent mobile gas dealer fill her up with new mobile gas special or new mobile gas at the sign of the Flying Red Horse. And now, Knox Manning.
Thanks, Jim, and our thanks to you, Pat McGeehan, for a swell job.
Oh, thank you, Knox.
Well, Pat, as you know, we promised our listeners that we'd announce the winners of our big story judging contest tonight. All the entries have been carefully read, and final selections have been made by our committee of three world-famous motion picture producer directors, Sam Wood, Mervyn LeRoy, and Frank Borzacki. So, Pat, if you'd like to help...
Pleasure, Knox. You call off the prizes, I'll call off the names.
The first prize, $1,000. The winner...
Mrs. Panzer J. Stanley of San Jose, California.
Second prize, $500.
Catherine H. Bogle of Portland, Oregon.
Third prize, $250.
Elizabeth Pingree of Sierra Madre, California.
Fourth prize, $100.
Helen Green of Hollywood, California.
Fifth prize, $75.
Della Elizabeth Shaver of Los Angeles, California.
Sixth prize, $50.
Fred Nesman of Lemon Grove, California.
And seventh prize, $25.
Uh-oh. A tie between Dorothy Marvin of El Cerrito, California, and Mrs. Irene...